You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right. Here we are with another episode of the world famous Chick Whisper podcast. My name is Scott McKay, and I am coming at you from sunny San Antonio, Texas. With me today is a new friend of mine, and I am absolutely thrilled to have him on board because we're going to cover a subject that is long overdue around here. You guys have been writing into me, hammering me about this one for ages. And you know what? I just haven't had the right guy to be my co-host for such a show for all that time. But here he is. Right here, right now, Stephen Roy from Frederick, Maryland, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing real well, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, Frederick, Maryland, that's just outside Baltimore, where I grew up, of course.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not too far.
Yeah. Pretty country out there.
It really is. I grew up in New Hampshire, about 30 miles from Boston, in a pretty small town, but I actually really like it out here, other than the traffic, yeah. Of course.
There's a good craft brewery there or two.
Huh? Yep, there's a few.
Yeah. Frederick, Maryland. Kind of a bedroom community for both Baltimore and DC, but just kind of out there enough that get away from the hustle and bustle. Nice place. Very underrated.
I agree.
Well, it turns out Stephen and I have something more in common other than just being familiar with Maryland. And it's probably a lot more relevant to you guys. And that's single fatherhood. A lot of you guys have been married, divorced. Some of you have baby mamas. And you didn't just run away from your children. You want to be involved with your children's life, but you know what? That sometimes presents issues when you want to meet the next woman and then the next woman or maybe several women at once. So Steve is known as a fitness coach for single dads, but he's also a single dad himself, as I have been in the past. So guess what, you guys out there? You can look forward to a great discussion. Even if you are not a single dad, I want you to listen very closely to this podcast. Because you're going to find some golden nuggets in there that are going to help you with your dating life with women, even if you aren't really in that same position. Well, there's also the fact that maybe someday you might be in that position. So this will be 2024 sight if and that ever happens to you. So, Steve, man, let's dive right in. First thing I want to talk to you about is the whole idea of the experience of being a single dad. I've heard from a lot of guys, like you have heard from a lot of guys. And what are guys saying out there? What are they thinking in terms of things they're finding as sticking points or challenges they're facing?
I've built up quite a community of single dads. I've really tried to hone in on reaching dads that are really struggling with, you know, kind of getting through the difficulties of separation or divorce and then becoming a single dad and taking on all that extra responsibility. You know, a couple of big things pop up over and over. You know, the first one is time. So, you know, you go from working a regular 8-hour job when you're married, you know, and so a lot of times what I see happen is you end up as a single father and then, you know, the obligations, you know, specifically financial obligations tend to increase quite a bit with alimony and child support. And, you know, you're basically starting over in many cases, unfortunately, from almost scratch. So a big one is trying to deal with financial issues and then the time of being able to balance out everything that, you know, they want to have in their lives, you know, aside from just trying to keep their head above water, which is what happens in a lot of cases here. They're just getting by.
And then, of course, a big part of your personal practice is helping guys retain their fitness or get it back, because sometimes we start feeling sorry for ourselves after a divorce or because of the time constraints and the financial constraints, we start letting ourselves go, right?
That's exactly right. So that's what happened to me, right? I've been a fitness coach for almost 20 years. I had went through a marriage. It was 8.5 years. You know, it was a bit of a struggle from the onset, and I kind of let myself go. But when I separated, it wasn't so much leaving the marriage and starting over, but it was being away from my two daughters. I have two young daughters right now. They're 11 and 7. And that piece of it put me into a really dark place. And what happened was I just stopped taking care of myself. I mean, I was eating like shit. I felt like shit. I didn't exercise. I actually was working in a job, a desk job that I hated and had been in for years, actually a decade. So I was pretty miserable all the way around. And yeah, I let myself completely go. And the catalyst for me turning my life around to where I am today, which is in a much, much better spot, started with getting my health and fitness back on track. And that's what I see every single day, is these guys struggling just to, you know, get through their day. They're struggling with emotions and all these other things. And the first thing to go is exercise and taking care of, you know, watching what they're eating. So it's so easy to fall into that rut of just stopping at McDonald's or just drowning your, you know, your sorrows in food or drinking and, you know, sodas and sugars, that kind of stuff. And before long, you know, it's added 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds of body fat. And then, you know, you start to feel worse about yourself. You have no energy. And it's a really a vicious circle. I see it all the time. It's that's why I started this.
So what are some of the warning signs a single dad should look for that he's headed down that wrong road? And then what are some tips to get yourself back on track?
I mean, it's hard because when you're in the moment, and you probably remember this too, but you know, when you're in the moment, you can't just step aside and say, hey, well, you know what? I noticed that I'm really beating myself up here. I'm going to go ahead and shift over here and make some better choices. A lot of times that's a really difficult thing to do. So, you know, a big piece of what I do is motivate and inspire by constantly being in their face, reminding them, hey guys, this isn't just for you. This is for your kids. This is for a better life. You know, do not take the path that a lot of guys took, that I took, and let yourself start falling apart. So, you know, I would say the first thing is don't surround yourself with negative things. You know, drown your sorrows with, you know, alcohol or sad movies or sad songs or trying to relive the past and really allowing yourself to get caught up in that, because, you know, that has a tendency to keep you where you're at. And of course, there's a mourning period. You have to experience those emotions of going through a separation. If you repress it, that's just as bad, if not worse. So you have to experience that, but you can't let it suck you in. So again, you know, a lot of these guys can't see that. So, you know, I really try to provide that light of hope and say, hey guys, I know exactly what you're feeling. Let's refocus. I promise you there's a better way. You will feel better. It's going to take some time. Let's start by doing this. And I really like to lead by just start moving more. You know, you guys have been sitting on your asses. You're miserable. You're sitting at a desk job. You're commuting. You know, you're not moving enough. You're not taking care of yourself at all. Let's start step one. I'm not going to throw you into CrossFit or anything crazy like that. I want you to start out. Let's make a few better choices, you know, and over time, you know, we're going to replace some of the bad habits and we're going to, you know, replace them with better, healthy habits. And before long, you know, 6 months, however long, you have a number of better habits and you're feeling better and you feel better about yourself and you have more confidence, and it snowballs into every single area of your life.
You know what? I'm just going to throw down for you here.
Yeah.
I had what I called the Danny Needs a Daddy campaign.
Okay.
My little daughter, you know, who was only 5 at the time, Her name is Danielle. She's almost an adult now. Time flies. But I remember I was very distraught after my divorce. These guys know this story very well. I got depressed. I said, man, I'm never going to see another woman naked in my entire life. Started feeling like a victim. And yeah, you blimp up because you don't care. I mean, why bother?
Yep.
And that's really selfish when you've got kids who love you. And when there's another woman out there someday, whether you even know it or like it or not, right after your divorce, might come along and be the true love of your life someday. A lot of times, Stephen, guys are looking at fitness programs, if they're even looking at them at all, with the mindset of, I'm going to look better, or I'm going to be stronger and be more buff. But really, what you're talking about is saving your own life sometimes. If you get fat and unhealthy enough, you're going to get diabetic, you're going to get heart problems, and you will die young. You will die younger the fatter you get. And your kids need you, especially if you had a situation where your spouse or the mother of those children, you're thinking, you know, she's not going to be able to be everything to those kids. And guess what? That's almost 100% of the time. Unless you're a real deadbeat and you're a real negative influence on your children, don't let society ever tell you that dads don't matter. Dads matter immensely. You matter immensely. You're important in the lives of those children. And those children's lives should be important enough for you to get up off your ass and do something about it. That's what the Danny Needs a Daddy campaign was about. And I'll be honest with you, Stephen, the way I'm built, the way I'm designed, I can pack on the pounds like a banshee really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is a battle for me to keep the weight off. Losing weight is tough. Keeping it off is tough. And the older I get, the more you just have to stay on it to be active. So I really like everything you've talked about. And guys, I really want to underscore that you're doing this not just for yourself, but you're doing it for people who you say you love. Do you love them enough to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I struggled with when I was a dad was dating. I mean, you know, I had my daughter with me, living with me suddenly, a bit of time after the divorce, and she stayed with me quite a while. And of course, that means you can't just come and go as you please. You've got your daughter to take care of. You've got another little human being who's depending on you. You've got to be mommy and daddy to that child while she's living with you. In my case, our mom was not able to take care of her at all for a while there. So I was doing everything and I didn't have a whole lot of support. So I had to get really creative when it came to dating. How about you? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of waded back into it. So when I started dating again, my number one concern was keeping my daughters away from a new woman. You know, that was my main concern. Once in a while, I would kind of, you know, quote unquote, have a play date, you know, just for a feeling out process. But it was a very slow process. You know, the last thing I wanted was for my girls to get hurt again by having somebody come into their life and then leave. So I took it really slow.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I got really, really good at meeting super hot women who had five-year-old daughters back when I had my five-year-old daughter here. I was a member of a website for single parents. It was called Single Parent Meet. And I know those niche websites are all still out there. And it was amazing because as soon as women found out, other single moms, mind you, as soon as they found out that I had full custody of my daughter, it was like, you know, this guy can't be an axe murderer. You know, he's a good guy. He's got his daughter with him. Yeah, he's going to be all right. So women were like coming over my house. Hey, let's have a play date. My daughter can meet your daughter. And I would have this parade of just beautiful women come over with legitimate new little girls for my daughter to play with. And my daughter was very easygoing, still is. And she made friends with all of them. And it's like, hey, let's go play Barbies. And meanwhile, mom and I are, you know, having a cup of coffee at the table. And there's a tablecloth over the table. And we're playing footsie with each other under the table, perpetrating like nothing's happening.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because sometimes I would have sleepovers with the kids and they would build a little tent and they would pass out around 10 o'clock. And then, you know, mom and I could relax together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the curious part is, you know, one day I was driving along with my daughter when she was about 13. And there was a little silence in our conversation. And she looked at me with this little sheepish smile and she said, Dad, you know, I never really thanked you for introducing me to all those kids and helping me make friends when I, you know, when I came to live with you back when I was five. So thanks for that. And I just looked at her and I said, oh, sweetie, believe me, there's no problem. She goes, I know, because what I think you don't know is I absolutely the whole time realized that every one of those little girls' mommies was really hot and they all liked you. I said, oh, nice. Really? She goes, yeah. I knew exactly what was going on and it's okay. It's no problem. And she kind of laughed, that little preteen laugh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, you know, it did work out for both of us, but it was still, I hope, you know, you felt like you could make friends. You go, oh, yeah, it was no problem. But, you know, it's funny because kids really catch on to a lot at a very young age. And no doubt, I mean, to go back in time, I'm thinking maybe, yeah, you know, it might have been a mistake to have my daughter meet all those women, you know. But, of course, nothing untoward ever happened in front of the little girls. We would never do that.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess nowadays I'm still on the fence as to whether that was a good idea or not. So I think that's kind of an individual decision that guys make. But I'll tell you something, man. If it weren't for those outlets and being able to meet some women, I don't know if I would have had much of a social life because I work from home and, you know, Danielle was very young. She wasn't in school yet. Sometimes I would put her in daycare for the day just to get some work done. And yes, sometimes women would come over for quote unquote lunch while Danielle was at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, their kids were in daycare also. So, again, it was a lot of creativity. But, man, it's hard to date when you've got full-time custody of children. I remember the rules kind of change, you know, compared to people who are just single, never married. And one of the ones that comes to mind, and you may be able to comment on this, is that you have an excuse for not being out on a Friday or Saturday night. I mean, single people who have never been married, don't have any kids or whatever – there's no way in hell they're going to be trolling match.com on Friday night or Saturday night because you're going to look like such a loser with an L painted on your forehead for being there trying to get someone to go out with when everybody else is allegedly out being social on dates. But if you're a single parent and you've got custody of your kids, well, hey, we're all in the same boat together. So I remember getting on Skype and having little video parades with women on Friday night and us talking to each other and talking dirtier to each other as the night went on and the kids went to sleep. It was kind of a bonanza. It was kind of cool. And of course, when you meet these women, it was on, you know, or when you saw them again, it was on. Whenever you got the chance to really, you know, have a babysitter together, which is another whole thing we can talk about, you know, having a common babysitter and you pay for the babysitter or she pays for the babysitter and then you both go out together. That's another great way to do this. But I remember the rules changed. I could flirt with women online over Skype, over video. Back then it was Yahoo Messenger, right? And no one ever said, oh, what a loser. He's talking to me on a Friday night. Why? Because she's on one a Friday night. We're all stuck home with our kids. And that was a great little outlet as a single parent. I remember that. Any little tricks like that that you got?
Well, I took a different approach. So I was in a marriage that was pretty toxic and pretty passionless. So I was kind of dead inside, for lack of a better term. You know, basically I had given up on sex and everything else. I just kind of chalked it up to, well, this is going to be my life. It's just, and you know, and then at some point my health started to falter when I was still living at home. And I said, you know what? I have to make a change or I'm literally going to have a heart attack and I'm going to die. I'm going to die at age 40. So I wasn't in any hurry to date, to hook up, to have sex, any of that stuff. I didn't care. So, you know, it just kind of happened. You know, I'd be at the pool and there'd be a single mom with her kid. And, you know, I have two little cute girls and, hey, you know, there's so-and-so, you know, say hi. And then you end up leading to a conversation and then, you know, coffee and all that, that whole thing. So that's the approach I took. And I just kind of, I never pursued any of it. Just kind of fell in, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of fell in my lap. Just because of the situation presented itself. So, you know, I never pushed for it. I wasn't trying to find extra time or anything like that. If I fit it in, great. But number one, it was all about the girls. I mean, the dating was absolutely secondary to any time with the girls. I wasn't going to give up 1 second with my girls to be with any woman.
Yeah, I think something that a lot of guys are figuring out if they're listening to this is, you know, a lot of us think we're alone in the things we're facing as single dads, when really we're all in this together. A lot of the same things recur for us. Yeah, your little girl, your kids have to come first, especially if you have full-time custody of them. And sometimes you'll meet a woman who doesn't have any kids yet and has never been married. And incredibly, to the male mind, she doesn't understand why you're putting your daughter first. Why can't you just put her in daycare or, you know, get a babysitter and rush out and see me? And you know, you just don't do that to your kids. Your kids come first. I know I do hear a lot from guys who have never had kids themselves or have never been married, never really spent much time with kids, frankly. And they start dating a single mom and they get really impatient and uptight with her. And they're saying, hey, you know, is she just putting me in the just be friend zone? Is she really not that interested? Why is she playing me? And I have to sit them down and go, dude, this is no lie. She comes home from work, has to feed her 3 children, put them to bed, get up in the morning and do the same exact thing. And if she does not have time for you and she says it's because of the children, you're going to have to respect that. And they're like, well, you know, I don't know. It seems like it's all the time. And she hasn't been able to see me for like 2 weeks. It's like, wake up, dude. It is all the time. She can't see you for 2 weeks. I remember I would go on a Match.com lunch date or even breakfast before work, you know, Starbucks coffee on a weekday. And I would really like the woman I met and she had kids and I had my daughter and we didn't get a chance to actually meet for like 3 weeks or a month, legitimately.
Sure.
It was crazy. You know, you just have to sync up your schedules and your children have to come first. They're your flesh and blood. They're your number one. You know, you have to take care of them. And, you know, at the same time, you got to take care of yourself too. And it just becomes a real battle and it can weigh on guys psychologically and physically, just like you're saying. So, you know, I'm glad we mentioned that a little bit. Another thing worth mentioning when it comes to dating is, guys, it's okay for you to have needs, for you to have a desire to be with another woman. Sometimes right after a divorce, you think, man, I've been with this woman so long that being with another woman still feels like I'm cheating. It just feels strange. You have to get over that. And one of the best ways to get over that is just to make female friends. And I know that sounds so lame to some guys, like, oh, the just be friends thing. Guys, get out there and get some female traction, get some female attention, just get to know some women. I love what you said, Stephen, about not feeling like you had to go out there and get laid and have sex and just like letting the game come to you in that regard. But yeah, you know, if you're used to having a woman in your life, if you're used to dating even, and all of a sudden there are no women, it's not nice. Women add a lot to life. So just getting out there and meeting women some way, even if it's a meetup group and you take your daughter with you, and group play dates or things that are events for children, and you just go to library story time and meet some other moms there, and oh, they happen to be single moms, and you get to know them and you realize they're kind of amenable to seeing you again, and you just start making those connections. That's a great way to get started.
Mm-hmm. A lot of my guys are trying to figure out the whole dating scene. And I have a pretty active Facebook group. We've got about 6,000 members on the Facebook group, but I've started a number of private kind of subgroups. And one I started about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, was a forum for guys to ask my current girlfriend questions about dating and relationships. So she has a really good angle on dating. She's got a no bullshit approach, you know, and she's a straight shooter. So I started it, and she gets on once a week and does a Q&A with these guys. There's maybe 50 guys in there that go in and, you know, spill their guts about what's going on in their head. You know, I'm having trouble, you know, meeting women. What do I do? What do I say? Where should I take her? All those things that I'm not the expert in, but coming from a woman's point of view. And it's been really successful because these guys really need that woman's perspective on what the hell am I supposed to do now? I've been married for 15 years and now I don't know how to date. I don't know how to do anything.
Well, they just need to hear from her. It's okay, too.
Yeah.
That you're allowed to be a man. You're allowed to have needs. You don't have to be emasculated. You don't have to kowtow to this viewpoint that even if you look at a woman, you're raping her. You know, just to hear from a woman that, hey, you know, we do like male attention. It's okay to get out there and start living your life again as a heterosexual male. I think that is very important. And, you know, thinking about that, there are not enough couples who are devoted to helping guys date. You know, I think it's great that you and your gal are doing that. Emily and I have been doing that, of course, for 10 years. And it is. It's a powerful 1-2 punch to be able to coach both men and women as a man and a woman. So you can get the perspective you need from either one of us or both of us. And of course, Emily and I tend to be lockstep on things. We're both very gender friendly to both men and women. So that always helps. So yeah, I think you're onto something there. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Let's talk about the family law situation for dads, because every divorced guy I know struggles with dealing with lawyers, how much he's got to pay out. You talked about the finances and alimony and child support up front. And a lot of guys are under the impression that, hey, you know what? Men get screwed by the family law process. What are some of the things you've had to deal with personally? And what are you hearing from men in terms of what their struggles are? And what advice can you give us all in terms of dealing with lawyers and the whole family law thing?
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to be as amicable as possible. I didn't want any bad blood, you know, wishful thinking. Basically, I wanted to keep my girls out of it as much as possible. And when, you know, when there's two angry sides, inevitably the children will somehow get caught up in it. So I wanted to avoid that. So I took the path of least resistance and I didn't get super aggressive. I found a really kind of easygoing lawyer who ended up, you know, in hindsight now, gave me some really bad advice and cost me a lot of money. But I didn't want to go after her and try to nickel and dime her and screw her out of every cent. And, you know, so I agreed to some terms. And that was the big thing, is I tell guys now, look over the, you know, terms. Don't give away the farm trying to take care of her or set her up, especially if she was a stay-at-home mom like mine. Hadn't worked. She stayed home with the girls for 8.5 years. You know, I was the sole income provider and I felt bad. You know, I mean, regardless, you know, the relationship was dead. We were split, but I still felt bad. I didn't want to leave her in a lurch. So I agreed to pay through the nose. And I signed some things that I shouldn't have signed that locked me into longer periods. Like I got a non-modifiable alimony clause, which my second attorney thought I was high. He said, what is wrong with you? Why would you sign that? I said, I don't know. It's my attorney told me that. Bad advice. So I tell guys, you know, as much as you want to give them, which is noble, but in 2 years, a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, when your head has cleared and you're seeing better, you're going to wish that you didn't, because now you're going to be scraping your pennies together trying to just survive while you're on the hook for all this money. So that's what kind of happened to me, and it did burn me because I left my job about a year after that, and you know, I took a massive pay cut, so and I was still on the hook for the same amount, so I had to literally hustle 15, 16 hours a day just to survive. I mean, it was worth it. I'm looking back, you know, I'd made those decisions on my own and I'd do it again. But, you know, that would be the first thing. And secondly, find a lawyer that is sympathetic to both sides. It's not just, you know, money hungry or power hungry or F her type of mentality, which I came across a few in the interview process. I'm not looking to ruin this person's life. I mean, you know, that's my main thing. Let's be fair. you know, but try to make it work as smoothly as possible. So I see all sides. I mean, I've got a lot of guys here that are bitter. They just want to, you know, screw their ex-wives as much as possible. And some, you know, are still trying to, you know, make things work, and some are trying to give them as much as they can. And so, you know, I can only speak from experience. You know, everybody's going to be different. Everyone has different relationships. So I would say, number one, don't be super generous in the beginning, because, you know, your emotions are really out of whack, and, you know, you still may be feeling things, and you're probably going to regret that in the future. And then, you know, find a fair attorney. You know, every state's different as far as the laws. You know, men, you know, will say, oh, it's a woman-friendly state or a mother-friendly state, but there are some, but I think that's overblown. You know, I think if you're a good dad and you have a good case, then you have your rights, and you're going to be just fine.
You know what? I'm going to talk straight on this point too. This has kind of been a straight shooting podcast for a guy like me. The family law system, I'm here in Texas. I get told all sorts of things about the family law system here in Texas. Oh, dads get crucified. It's mom friendly, this, that, and the other. And I really found the answer is usually it depends. It depends on the judge. It depends on the lawyers more than anything. Mm-hmm. You said something very key. You found an easygoing lawyer, and it ended up costing you lots of money because of bad advice she gave you.
Uh-huh.
The one thing I would tell dads, and I am not a lawyer, I'm not going to give anything resembling legal advice, because first of all, it would be irrelevant anyway, because everybody lives all over the four corners of the world, and family law is different in every state. But the one thing I can tell you that's universal is be your own advocate and use your brain. And the second thing I would tell you is, and you alluded to this, Stephen, but do what you can to try to step aside from this and look at it as a third party would. Take all your emotions, all your bitterness, try to go into lizard brain mode as much as you can, and just look at yourself. Look at what you're being told. Look at what you're being asked to do, and think about it, not like you or your wife or your lawyers would be telling you to look at it, but you be the judge. Most of the time, I mean, you're sort of at the judge's mercy, but most of the time, people who are judges are there for a reason. They've gotten there for a reason, especially in family law. And if they screw these things up or they're too biased in one direction or another, a lot of times they're out of a job. Judges are there to be fair. Judges are there to listen to the situation and move forward in the way that's in the best interest of the child, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times lawyers will indeed sell you a bill of goods that you've got to fight longer, harder, and come out of pocket more and more because you're fighting for your child. And you end up fighting out of your child's college tuition money and giving it all to lawyers. This happened to me. This has happened to almost everybody I know, which is why I have the guts to say it on a podcast like this. You've got to look at this, and you've got to stand up to your lawyer if the lawyer is telling you something that just doesn't make a lick of sense to do. Like, for example, one time, my ex showed up for the divorce finalization, which involved custody of my little daughter, and she hadn't filed an answer, and she wasn't ready. She messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge was ready to pronounce a judgment. And my lawyer asked for 5 minutes and said to me, you know, it'll make a good impression on the judge if you say, hey, yeah, let's give her 2 weeks to get her act together and we'll reconvene. That'll make the judge look finally on all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're the lawyer. You know what you're doing. Let's do it. In retrospect, it would have been over that morning. Why didn't my lawyer want it to be over that morning? That's a damn good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that judge was about to drop the gavel, say you were unprepared. Your ex-spouse wins this thing. He gets custody. You just basically didn't fight. Why would a lawyer not want me to win that day? There's only one reason I can think of, Stephen. It's because she hadn't billed me enough yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you'd think. You'd hope not, but yeah.
And you know, the other thing you talked about is this whole idea of getting you all riled up and angry at your spouse. Well, can you believe this person did this to you? And if you don't go through this litigation now, or even this mediation, for God's sake, if you don't go through this process now, she's going to be able to come back and she's going to be able to do this. And you've got to protect yourself against this. You've got to protect yourself against that. And it's like, I mean, my lawyer was telling me every time I saw my daughter, I had to take her to a pediatrician before I turned her back to mom to make sure there was proof that I didn't sexually assault her, and we had to write that all up and send it to the judge. What? There wasn't even any allegation on the table yet.
What?
More for the lawyer to do. More for the lawyer to submit to the judge.
Jesus.
We need to do discovery. We need to get all of her financial records. We need to subpoena all of her medical records. We need to put all that in front and hire somebody as a forensic psychologist to do an evaluation. It's like, hold on a second. She and I verbally agreed to everything already. Let's just get this done. Well, no, you can get more. You shouldn't let her get away with that. And then they start trying to rile you up. Because if they can get you two to hate each other and go at each other, they can keep billing you.
Yep.
Guys, you have to step aside from this. You have to grab your balls and keep your emotions under control in the best way possible. Look at this the way a judge would look at it, and look at your bank account. Look at the future instead of living in the present, and make decisions for yourself and stand up to a lawyer. If a lawyer is telling you to do something and it sounds expensive, say, hey, look, why can't we just do this? Wouldn't that be a lot more simple and a lot easier and a lot more straightforward? Ask your lawyer, how many hours are you going to bill if this happens? How complicated is what you're asking? What's really going to go on here? And also challenge anytime they start, you know, giving you the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doom that's going to cost you money. Ask someone else. Ask a different kind of professional. Ask another lawyer. Man, sometimes you get the best legal advice when you go into another lawyer and say, you know, I'm not so pleased with my lawyer. What do you think about what I'm being asked to do here? And then they'll tell you the exact opposite because they want your business. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You just gave me an example where that happened to you. Like, hey, why did you pay that? Why did you agree to this? Mm-hmm. Well, it was because your lawyer got to bill you more. A lot of times people talk about men getting ripped by the family law process, or, you know, women, you know, end up with the kids and none of the money and the guy gets to gallivant around. Hey, Emily and I have been dating coaches for 10 years. We've talked to a lot of divorced men and women. And you know what we figured out over 10 years, Steve?
What's that?
Hardcore. Stone cold lock. We figured lawyers are the only ones who win in family law. Period. There's even a documentary about it. I'm going to tell you something. If I have a truckload of single dads and I have a truckload of single moms and they all want coaching from Emily and I, the men can usually afford it and the women usually can't. How does that work? Because we're always told, hey, we're going to get fleeced by the family law system. We're going to lose everything. Meanwhile, women are the ones left, you know, with the kids and having to go get a job, and they just can't make ends meet. Guys are left paying. They're left, you know, with a house with nobody living in it that they've got to sell and that they've got to somehow keep paying on until that time comes where someone finally buys it out from under them. But I'll tell you, everybody bitches. Everybody says, man, you know, this divorce cost me a lot, especially when they have children. The lawyers are the ones who walk away literally like bandits on this. And, you know, if you're a family lawyer and you're listening to this, you may be a perfectly good guy or gal, and you may be one of the good ones we're talking about. If so, please contact me because I'd like to know who you are. And indeed, I have a friend, a female friend out in California who she basically walked me through everything I needed to do to keep from having to pay all your money. And she was absolutely dead on right. And we put the whole thing to rest without a whole lot of time or energy, even from me, all because I was my own advocate. It actually turned out to be a positive thing. Because when her lawyer wanted to play games with me about talking to my attorney and, you know, we can't talk to the client about this. Guess what? I am one in the same. Now you get to talk to me. I'm representing myself. Forced that lawyer's hand in disclosing to me everything that was going on. Then I had the perfect comeback and it went away. It almost nonplussed the lawyer. Because now all of a sudden that lawyer didn't have a huckleberry. There wasn't another lawyer going, hey, yeah, let's do this. Let's put them through that. Now they can both pay. No, I wasn't interested in paying. I was interested in this thing going away. And if that sounds kind of irresponsible, and if it sounds kind of like it's a Bush League thing to have done, so be it. But you know what? I had a friend who didn't have any financial vested interest in this walk me through it, and she was absolutely stone cold, dead on accurate about what to do, and it worked. Be your own advocate. I mean, if you're going through a divorce and you're going through custody, yeah, you got to hire a lawyer. But you know what? Keep your eyes open and watch your pocketbook because it matters. And the other thing is, make sure you do what you can to learn the actual laws. One of the things that I was threatened with was, hey, you know what we're going to do? Unless you give us what we want, we're going to have you pay all our legal fees. We're going to sue you for all the legal fees. Hey, I did my homework and there was zero precedent, okay, in almost 150 years for them just being able to ask me to pay legal fees and having the judge grant it. It never happens. So again, looking at that as a third party when I'm not involved, what would I say to myself? I would say to myself, dude, that's never happened in 150 years. They're just being ridiculous. And then I'd stop worrying about it. But because it's my own thing, because I'm the one who may be sued here, I get all scared. And to my attorney, I just say, okay, let's do this. I fall over dead and just let all the litigation happen, and it ends up costing me more money. Obviously, I'm on a little soapbox here, but if you have anything to add, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, I did the same thing. I had a lot of threats. My lawyer says you should be living in a shoebox or on the street, you know, trying to, you know, intimidate me into caving into demands that were completely unreasonable. I mean, you know, just going back and forth with their agreements, and, you know, I'd submit it and it would come back and there would be all these things added to it. And I said, well, it's not what we talked about. Well, my lawyer says this. So I'd have to go back to my lawyer and say, what's the deal with this? Can she kick me on the street? Can she take every last cent that I own? You know, can she do this? So I had to educate myself too. And that definitely provided some support and some strength there, because, you know, when you're new to this and you start getting these things thrown at you, well, I'm going to take this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to take custody away, or I'm going to do this, you freak out. You don't know the law. You're scared shitless. And you're like, oh, I don't want that. I can't lose my kids, or I can't do that. So whatever you want, boom. And that's what happens to a lot of guys too, is they'll cave and give in. But yeah, do your homework, do your research, talk to a good lawyer, and it's free to talk to them. I mean, you can go around town and talk to them for free for the most part. Get a feel for them. You like them as a person, you know, think they're going to be just. Base it on that.
I don't know how many situations I've encountered, including my own, where the wife wants to divorce the husband. By the way, 65% of divorces initiated by women in the United States. Just thought I'd throw that out. I don't know how many situations I've encountered, including my own, like I said, where the woman wants to divorce you because you're a bad guy, but she's counting on you being a generous, optimistic, good guy to give her what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. There's an irony for you.
Mm-hmm.
So little things like she decides she wants to leave you, so get out of the house, and you're the one paying for the house because you're the breadwinner in the family. Guess what, guys? She can get out of the house. If she wants to leave, leave. But guys will pack up and they'll leave their own home.
Yep.
And live in Motel 6. And they're the ones paying for her home. And then what happens is you get temporary orders slapped on you. And she tells the judge, well, he already left and I'm already here in the home. So in the child's best interest, let's keep everything the status quo so it's not all disruptive. And he should still keep paying all my bills. Judge drops the gavel and goes, sounds good to me. And you let it happen. Mm-hmm. Little things like that become big things. And that's why you need to have your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we wrap up, Stephen, do you have any final bits of advice to guys who are single dads out there or who may be facing being a single dad on how they can prepare, mindset, anything like that, little silver bullets you can give them before we close?
Yeah, and it's something that you alluded to earlier, things that I talk about heavily as part of my message to these dads is, you know, how can you take care of your kids the best way possible if you can't even take care of yourself? So, you know, people think, oh, it's selfish for me to dedicate a half an hour or 45 minutes of my day to exercise or going to the gym. I said, no, it's selfish not to. Why? Because every part of your life is going to change, and in my opinion, be better when you, you know, you're moving better, you're feeling better, you're stronger, you're leaner, you like what you see in the mirror, you're more confident, you know, you're making better decisions. That's all tied in to, you know, your health, well-being, and fitness. So you have to keep that mindset of, people say, well, my kids are number one. Well, yes, of course your kids are going to be number one, but you have to put yourself first. Take care of yourself. Like I said, I mean, I really, really believe this. If you're letting yourself go to shit, how can you be the best dad you can be? You can't. You know, when you're feeling fantastic and you have tons of energy, how much better are you going to be for your kids, right? And the role model, not even to mention the aspect of being a better role model. Right? The kids learn everything. They're little sponges. They see you sitting on the couch when you get home from work and because you're so tired, right? And sitting watching TV, eating, you know, fast food, right? They learn from that, you know? So I really teach, shift that mindset. It's not selfish. It's selfish not to take care of yourself. That's my number one thing is when shit starts to go crazy in your life, try to maintain a level head and keep yourself at least somewhat active and focused on your health and well-being, because it really is going to affect every part of their life.
It's like every time you fly, you hear the safety presentation. They say, put on your oxygen mask first before you help the child.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's a metaphor for life. That's a metaphor for parenthood.
Yeah.
Even in your job, guys, if you're not taking a vacation sometimes, if your boss is guilting you into not taking a vacation, go right back to your boss and say, hey, look, I am better. I am fresher. I am more on point. I will do better work if I get to recharge my batteries. You're asking me to run on dead batteries. What kind of work do you want from me? This is something we talk about in my Big Four Man Challenge program. Mm-hmm. And every guy who says he's gone back to a boss who's just wanted to drive him for more and more work You know, like, hey, if you take a vacation, if we live without you for 3 days, we could replace you. We could live without you forever. They start throwing that guilt on you. The question back to him or her is, how good do you want the work to be from me? Everybody's got to recharge their batteries. Everybody's got to refuel. Everybody's got to do their own maintenance in order to operate at an optimal level. Hell, even the Spurs have to rest sometimes, according to Greg Popovich, right?
Sure.
Yep. So, you know, those guys are getting paid millions of dollars,
yep,
you know, to play basketball, and they still need days off to rest because when they come back, they're going to be better contributors to the team. Mm-hmm. That's what your kids need from you too. I think that's a great word. Hey, Steven, tell these guys a little bit about your program that you have with your company, Single Dad Fit Dad, because I think it's really interesting and I want to let them in on it.
Sure. So I've been doing this for about a year and a half, specifically with Single Dad. I started Single Dad Fit Dad about a year and a half ago, like I said, with the intention of not just helping guys get fit, but really change so many other aspects of their life. And over the past year and a half, I've really gathered a lot of information. I've asked a ton of questions about what these guys really need, what they want, what motivates them, what inspires them, you know, what drives them to be better. And so I ended up creating a course called the Fit Dad Blueprint. It's a 6-week course designed to help dads get their lives back on track. So in essence, I'm marketing it as a fat loss program, but that is the catalyst to the really important stuff. So I don't care if these guys lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. What I care about is what happens to their life when they lose the weight. Because so many of these guys, and I see it every single day, it's, you know, I have no energy. I hate what I look like, or my belly fat, my back fat, my man boobs. It's all those things that creep up over time in a bad marriage or after a marriage. You let yourself go. You know, these guys are, you know, 30s and 40s. So it's a lot easier to store that extra body fat. So I built a program step by step on how to get started from just the very basics of assessing your situation, knowing your numbers, your body fat, how to do all that, walking you through specific strength and conditioning workouts, getting your diet in order, very specific information about, in my opinion, how to eat optimally for sustained fat loss, permanent fat loss. And then there's a section on habits and recovery. And so it's really kind of all-encompassing to help a dad kind of shift from being down and depressed and almost a victim. And I call it reclaiming your manhood, right? Taking back your manhood, which is, you know, taking back what's yours. I mean, these guys deserve a life filled with vibrance and power and strength and energy, right? And they're not. They're not living that. They're living a shitty life, and I want to help them change that, just like I changed that. That's exactly what I did in my life, and I've seen it. I am 100 times happier than I was just a few years ago, and I believe that strength training and losing fat and starting to see transformations physically is a really, really powerful catalyst to so many other changes.
And of course, all that is incredibly attractive to women too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not just, yes, women, despite what, you know, social media says with the dad bod being hot, it's not, right? Women are attracted to fit men, muscular men. I'm not talking about, you know, bodybuilders, all that stuff. But, you know, a guy that takes care of himself is going to do, for the most part, better than someone that's sloppy. But that's not even the big issue. It's about the confidence that comes with it. That's the real draw. I mean, you know a lot more about this than I do, but in my opinion, the real draw isn't your six-pack abs or those, you know, rock-hard shoulders. It's the confidence that you carry knowing that you feel good about yourself. And that comes from taking care of yourself and then taking those steps to make yourself a better person.
Well, I'm living proof of that because, man, six-pack abs have eluded me my entire life no matter what I do, even in my 20s. His name is Steven Roy, and I want you to be able to learn more about his program. You can do so at a special URL I've set up for you at www.thechickwhisperer.com/dad, D-A-D. How easy is that? Just remember dad and you're there. www.thechickwhisperer.com/dad. Steven Roy from Frederick, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us today. Great information.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate it.
And guys, if you aren't getting my newsletter every day, man, you're missing out on free actionable advice that's going to make you better with women, make you a better man, show you how to have more adventure, and yes, how to be healthier and fit as a dad or as a man in general. To get in on all that free information, what you want to do is go directly to the show's page at www.thechickwhisperer.com. You can see what Steven Roy and some of our other guests look like while you're there. And then sign up for our newsletter and you will get that free information from me. And I'm sure you'll be thrilled with it. Until I talk to you again on the next episode of the Chick Whisper podcast, this is Scott McKay coming at you from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X&Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisper.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.